Blog Talk Radio.
She's an award-winning author, an empowerment coach, and speaker. She's also a suicide advocate who's very passionate about impacting lives of others. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you our sister in prayer, Vanessa Abram.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for calling this morning. I hope your day has started off great, and as a matter of fact, this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it regardless of what we are facing. I know many of us are going through valleys and mountain lows and valley lows, but God, understand that God is with us through it all. Once again, welcome to Self-Discovery with Vanessa, where today I have a very special person, great friend, sister of mine, Nicole N. Benton. She's also known as Victoriously Speaking. She's a licensed professional counselor. She's the founder president of Reconciliation Movement. It is her vision to uplift communities through creating sustainable change. Ms. Benton writes, performs, facilitates various topics for awareness. She does human services counseling or consulting, life coaching, mental health and substance abuse recovery through her practice, NNK4L.I.F.E, which spells NNK for life. She believes that living independently for excellence, L-I-F-E, life, is to live free of fear, anger, and or doubt, and live every day professionally and creatively assisting others in their path as she walks the path that God gave her as a wife, an advocate, a counselor, and a writer. The next voice you will hear, and I want to welcome to the show, is my good sister and friend, Nicole N. Benton. How are you this morning, big sister?
Good morning. How are you? How is everybody this morning?
Doing well. Excited to get you on the line. It's always good when you are in the midst and all of the energy and all of the knowledge that you bring. So I'm just excited about today, and I'm going to be getting out some messages out so people can come in and call in to ask questions and join in the show with us. So how's your week been thus far?
It's been great. You know, I call myself taking the month off. That didn't quite happen the way I thought it would, but it's okay because everything worked the way it's supposed to. And I just, you know, I ended up doing some new types of adventures in the hospitals. And so I'm just happy any way that we can get out and bless others and help people, you know, move forward in life.
That's awesome. I remember you were going on vacation and was so looking forward to. So it is a great thing that you did get some time off and, like you said, did something different. That's great. Mm-hmm. That is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am looking forward to the tour. You were on the very first one, the Pain Positioning and Purpose Tour. What's your thoughts about the tour? And, you know, you are just amazing as far as the energy and, again, the energy, the knowledge, the wisdom, it's the package. It's the total package that you bring. How did you feel about the first one?
I thought it was absolutely wonderful. You know, being a mental health advocate myself, that's everything that I push, because I just believe that that's where all of our problems start, of course. And being a specialist in trauma and understanding things like suicide awareness and, you know, seeing how people become hopeless in situations, I think it's brave for people to be able to get up and speak about their experiences. But I also believe that your test is your testimony. And I think, you know, the whole platform, the way that is that it's done for the entire event, it gives everybody an opportunity to see aspects of things which anyone, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think Mm-hmm. I had such a good time being the MC. I'm really looking forward to going home to Gary. You know, I really want to go home and do more things, to be honest with you. And so I just feel like this will open a door. I just think, I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. I hope that I can continue to support for you to keep doing it and that we can continue to touch people. You know, if we just get one every time, we've done what we're supposed to do. And the other thing is just how God moves. You know, I don't do anything without God. Like people, in the church, a lot of times they try to stay away from mental health as far as people like myself who are licensed. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of really good faith-based counselors, including myself. I don't really title myself that way, but I do put it out that I do that type of counseling as well. But really, I don't, when I first went to school, and I tell people this, when I first went to school and I started learning all these theories, I was like, well, a lot of this stuff is in the Bible anyway, and people don't realize how much God moves through things like counseling, half it wasn't for God. All my life,
You're kind of breaking up a little bit, sis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just think we got to pay more attention to what we are doing when it comes to how we believe and think and move in the things that we think and believe in. We can't just ignore when we're feeling certain ways and think, oh, it's just going to be okay. And so those are things that I think the tour is getting out there in our communities and showing people, look, it's okay. We could talk about these things.
That is so true, because when we went to, and thank you so much, because I would love to have you on board. I will begin planning in the next month to 2 months for next year's tour and definitely keep you abreast, because I still want to keep it on Saturdays everywhere we go, so that way it's not during the week. But would love to have your energy there, would love to have your knowledge there, and just want to thank you again for just being obedient and just saying yes. And not only that, it's like you are one of the pieces of the puzzle that God wanted to put in. I didn't know it, but he did. So I just thank God for our connection. And not only that, we have roots that's a connection from Gary.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Know, who would have known that until we talked about it at AKA event. So I'm just so grateful for you. And you mentioned a few minutes ago, about reaching out to the different people. And like in Charlotte, in Columbia, there were people came out. And of course, this is the first tour. So it's not a whole gamut of people coming out. But you know what the blessing is that I'm finding is, because there maybe are 20 people there, it's so intimate. It's personable, where people feel, and they even say this, I feel safe in this place and I can say what I need to say. And that's amazing, because when it gets on a larger scale, I personally, if I was in the audience, I would probably wait, depending on where I was. Some people will wait because of the magnitude of the crowd and don't want to feel like, oh, well, they're watching me or this or that. But because it's starting out at a smaller level, it is just beautiful to see that, and how people are just saying, wow, this has helped me. In Charlotte, the very same thing. AFSP came as a table. I asked them to come, and one of the young ladies spoke, and it blew my mind. In regards to her, I think she was she Asian? I can't think of what her nationality was. But when I began to speak, and then after I spoke, she spoke. She said, "Now you just made me feel safe to speak." And she started talking about suicide in her family, and went on and on. And my mouth just flew open, and I'm like, "Wow!" She said, "Vanessa, and the only reason I can talk about this is because you just made this place a safe place for me to do that."
Wow.
And I'm like, "Wow." She said, and I don't talk about it. I do not talk about this. And that right there, just like you and I just said, that's the reason why we do the things that we're doing. you know, for even just that one person that will speak up and has never spoken up about it before.
I think, too, what people don't realize is that you have to talk about it. Because when you hold things in, you make yourself sick. And people don't realize the more you hold in, the sicker you get. And it leads to all types of things, you know. There are people with serious intestinal and digestive issues because of holding things in. And we don't even look at that, you know, how stress affects our bodies. It affects our relationships. It affects so many things because we're holding things in. And it's like, you know, we've made it a taboo in our families, you know. You'll hear what's done in the dark stays in the dark. You know, all these various terms and things that we throw out and not realizing that we're hurting ourselves when it comes to things that it's really constantly changing us. People don't realize that stress, there are hormones and chemicals that are being released that actually changes your brain. And your brain is not going to function the way that it should. So what happens, your reasoning, your decision-making, all these various things starts changing, and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going through. But a lot of it is just I'm holding things in. And that's how people get to a point to where they become hopeless, and they say, you know what, I don't want to be in this life anymore. And I think that's what's so important to understand, how people get to these points, or when people have mental breakdowns, you know, in various things. We have to pay attention to ourselves. And I think the tour, you made a point about, you know, it being intimate when it's small, but when it's just starting. But everything that starts is going to start that way, and it grows. I went to a conference in Hawaii, and it was like about violence and trauma. And they were talking about how when they first started, this was like the 20th year or something like that. And when they first started, the guy, the founder, was talking about how, you know, it was only like 30 people, you know. Now they've got these big conference rooms. They're in two different, you know, states in Hawaii, I think in San Francisco. And it's huge, you know. But how what I liked about it, you know, they did break it down in these small rooms where, you know, people got a chance to go to their interests. And I could see what you're doing grow into that, because understanding that people, as it grows, then you'll start seeing and identifying where people have their needs, and you could pull in more speakers and things for those areas. And it, yeah, that's just how it goes. But right now we just have to enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey that God has taken us on to perfect what he has already perfected. You know what I mean?
We just lost what'd you say? Can you say that again?
I said that, I'm sorry, because I'm kind of in a bad area.
Oh, okay.
I said that God, we just have to perfect what he's already perfected. So it's going to, you know, every year, it's going to grow to what he wants for us to do, you know, as advocates, as his ambassadors, you know. And I just believe, you know, consistency and just staying on the path is what is needed in order for this to grow and for everybody to get what they need. That's just how it works. So I'm excited.
Hey, man, I am too. I am too. I tell you, and the last one was amazing. And, you know, the one in Charlotte, I had some. And the blessing is, just as you said, with the tour that you're going, went to, and he started small, but then now it's huge. I can see this one doing the same thing, and I'm getting chills in my body because now, since I'm contacting these organizations that are like, hey, yes, we want to be on board, contact us with the dates for next year so that we can partner with you and do whatever it is that we can do to make this thing a success. And even sending, you know, people out when they can to drop some literature out in whichever organization and what state it is. So it's like that's just amazing to me. I'm grateful for that. I am so grateful because, of course, we all have to start at the bottom. And, you know, I was telling my husband, and even God, it's told me, Vanessa, even if two people there, because you know how the enemy, you have your enemy telling you what you can't do, but God had already told you what you can do, and it will be done. You just have to walk that thing out. And God said to me, I said, Lord, what if there are not many people there? He said, if it's two people there, you and one more person, it's done. With two or more gathered in my name, that's where I am. Do what I've called you to do. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, and I've learned that. I've heard it from other various speakers and pastors and hosts and things. You know, I've even had events where nobody showed up, and me and my crew, we went right through it as if it's still, you know, happening. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know, and somebody gets something out of it, even if it's just the person that's there, the security, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
You just never know. Like, I look at it like this. If God told me to do it, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And however, you know, if it doesn't turn out how I think it should, then that's not on, you know, it's not about me. It's about
mm-hmm.
the process. And it's
right.
kind of what I said earlier as far as, you know, perfecting what's already been perfected.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes too we move a little fast, but that's okay too. It's still all a part of our journey. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's what's so important. I think you're doing a wonderful thing. Just the way that you've been able to organize in these different states, you know, the wonderful thing about going back home where we started.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And I think that says a lot. Like, I'm already. I already got my black and gold ready for the dub. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Anybody from here, listen, that's what you are going to represent, okay? So I was sitting here. I said, I saw you with your shoe game, and I've been having problems with my arthritis. I said, I don't even know if I could do
mm-hmm.
my heels, but I'm
mm-hmm.
definitely going to represent the black and gold.
mm-hmm. I bet you will, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I'm horse man, so I'm red and black, red and white.
But, yeah, I just, you know, that I sent it out to everybody. I really hope everybody who said come can come. I think it'll be a blessing. I always hear people say, oh, I wish I could be there to see you, Nikki, and I'm like, okay, I'm coming home. This is y'all's
mm-hmm.
chance to get a dose of Victoriously Speaking, because I do give some large doses at times.
Yeah.
And it's
and
all how God moves, you know.
It is. Who would have
yeah.
known? Nobody knew but God.
Yeah.
Nobody knew
yeah.
but God that you was going home with me and Jackie, the other lady from Gary as well. She's going and she's a speaker too. And, you know, the Lord said, take that fee off of Gary. Take it off so nobody won't have no type of excuse about,
no,
I don't have $25. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it off. I said, it's always free. So, y'all, come on. Come on and get your blessing.
Right.
Come on and get
I'm
your blessing.
I'm excited. I want to do more mm-hmm. stuff at home. I think about, and this is the thing, you know, a while ago, when I was studying, and I started like learning about the concept of church,
mm-hmm.
and understanding that, you know, the first church wasn't necessarily a building; it was the community.
Come
and
on
I
now.
Think that when you look at us as believers and people who are out here ministering to others,
mm-hmm.
we have to take care of our communities.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot call ourselves believers and not take care of our communities, our people.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at home. If
Come
we're not
on
taking
now.
Care of our families, what are we doing? You know, and then you get people that get so mixed up about, we put stress on ourselves and then wonder why we are where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, going after, you know, killing ourselves for these jobs and these corporate, you know, folks and doing things
mm-hmm.
that goes against who we are. And that's
mm-hmm.
why I think it's important in understanding identity and purpose. Like, that's what practice is about.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, everybody that sits on that couch, if we don't get, you know, you may be coming in there for a breakup or a divorce or you confused about something, but when you in, I guarantee you, we're going to talk about identity and purpose, because
yes.
if you're walking in purpose, nothing can stop you.
Amen.
Nothing. I don't care what obstacles come your way. And the thing about it is, the society has done a good job at stripping us of identity.
Yes.
We have an identity crisis in the world.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that is rooted in mental health as well. And so, you know, I just feel like people think that mental health is just about, oh, something wrong with you. But no, this is about lifestyle. This is about what are you doing for yourself in a career, as a community member, as a family member. Like, what are you doing? And if you can't stay true to yourself, then, you know, it's always going to be a problem. Always. And one simple thing in learning how to say, I always tell people, learn how to say no.
Yes.
I don't care who it is. Mama, daddy, sister, brother.
Well,
you know what I mean? Learn how to say no. Be true to yourself. Keep it 100, as they say.
And as you're talking about
truth.
And I just
think that's what this does.
As you're talking about truth, and that's one thing that I've learned with me and how God has been peeling back the layers and me becoming truer and truer and truer and truer, truer to myself. So that I can stand in my total truth. What was done in the past, that is what was done in the past. And that past, like God is saying, okay, now you got to go right back to your past, which is home, and show them that you are a product of this place, but this place did not keep you and did not tear you down. You left and allowed me to do a work in you. So truth, talk about truth as it relates to people and how people want to hide things and, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this house. And no, I don't want to go to the therapist. I know everything. The therapist don't need to tell me nothing because I already know. Tell me about that. How do you feel about that?
Ooh, Family Secrets. I did a show on it last year. And I always tell people it's funny because in my family, it's this story about, and I'm not going to call them out because we're on air, but it's a famous person had showed up to a funeral of one of my, like, great uncles or something like that. And the person shows up, he didn't come to the funeral part. He came to where we was getting ready to bury him at the burial site. Gets out the limousine, walks over after, you know, everything was done, gets back in the limousine and rides off. So everybody's like, why was he here? Because nobody said nothing to him, and he didn't say anything to anybody. And this is a big famous person. And it's so crazy. So we get back, you know, to the repast, and everybody's talking about it. So finally, one of the aunts that is older was like, well, that was Uncle So-and-so's son. And everybody's like, what? You know? And it's things like that to me, it hurts families. How do you, and not just because he was famous, but how do you, you know, nobody knew. So we don't even know each other. You had folks running around here, family, don't even know their family. You know, then you got the, you know, I got people who had family members that was molesting everybody throughout the family. They protected them. And it caused all kinds of grief and issues. And then it's like, well, when the parents are not protecting them because they were molested too. And it's like, are we just going to keep this spirit going on and on? We just going to keep this going? We going to keep saying, like, this is okay? You know, secrets in families destroy purpose.
Say that again.
It destroys lives, generations after generations after generations. And when you're not, you know, at a place to where you're tired enough to say enough is enough, then you're part of the problem. Why am I going to continue this thing throughout my family, hurting children? You know what I mean? Like, it's things like that. When are we just going to tell the truth? When are we going to say, you know what, I don't like this? Yeah, we're family, but you know what? I don't like this. This is not right. to me, that's you know, I guess when we think about stuff like that, that's what kind of like comes to mind, because you got all these people buried without, that didn't even fulfill purpose, all the things that we were supposed to do. And it's crazy because history repeats itself. So we get chance after chance after chance to get things right, and we still won't be honest with ourselves and others in order to grow. We want to hold on to really bad, they call it stinking thinking, you know, because this is what we used to do. This is tradition. This is what my mama told me, my grandma, and it's been passed down. It's kind of like generational teen pregnancy, where you got three generations of teen mothers, and nobody has grown up, because mentally you're still that child, because you were traumatized at becoming a mother at 13. But we've normalized all this stuff as if it's normal. And then we wonder why things are so chaotic, and everybody's running around hurting. And then you want to smoke weed and pop pills and snort cocaine, girl, and drink alcohol to try to take away the pain that you're causing yourself, because you don't want to be honest. I don't even care about being honest with everybody else. Be honest with yourself.
Girl, come on now. Bring it.
I'm going to bring a little bit of testimony just where I'm at right now in my life, and just understanding how family and things carry on from generation to generation. All this time, I thought it was okay for men to cheat. All this time. Because that's what I was told ever since I was young. Every relationship I ever had, somebody cheated on me. And I'm going to say maybe two that didn't. They cheated on me with drugs. And I didn't know.
Okay.
So, but we make excuses for things based off of what we were taught, and then we normalize. And it wasn't until now in my 40s that I realized, like, wait a minute, that's not healthy. That's not really what I want in a relationship. No, this is not okay to do these types of things. Be happy, or being happy is you being okay with not only how others treat you, but how you treat yourself.
Right.
Because the thing about it is, people are only going to treat you how you allow them to treat you. So you showing them how to do it. And if you're not happy with it, then you can't be mad at them. So I can't even be mad at who I was in a relationship with. I got to be mad at myself because of something that I have carried on with me through generations.
Wow.
You get me? Generations of stuff that this is okay. And this is what I mean by being honest. 100. I can't sit there. I'm not going to, you know, compromise myself for the sake of you. Now, I may sit down, I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to say, am I okay with this? Yeah, I'm okay with it. So, you know what? Let's talk about it. We got, you know, truth is rooted in effective communication. So what's effective communication? We think we be talking. We really do.
We really do, and we don't. We really, really do, and we don't. We don't. And you hitting some points. You hitting some points, Ohad. I need to do a live with you, because people need to hear what you're saying, because it's the honest to God truth.
You know, I strive every day to be better. I realize, and you know, y'all always hear me say, check yourself, you know, before you wreck yourself. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. The daily process, because every day, no matter how much God gives me revelation, there's something always around the corner trying to take you out. You know what I mean? And so every day you have to really look at what you're doing, why you're doing it, why these folks are in your life. Looking for guidance from the Holy Spirit, because that's your true guide. You know, God preached about that, because a lot of times we always talk about God and Jesus, and we neglect poor Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is here guiding us from day to day. And we don't even take the time to talk to him and be like, okay, what I do wrong yesterday? What you want me to do? You know, and that's been a practice of mine since I've learned that. And I can't say that I'm perfect with it because of this thing we call human nature. But I can say I strive. You know, everything, every day, I strive for it. I want to be better. I want to get past certain things in my life. Because I'm, you know, even as a therapist and speaker and all the things that I do, I still hurt too. You know, I still bleed. Mm-hmm. I still have things that I still have to get past and overcome. But the key to that is awareness.
Mm-hmm.
If you walking around and you're not aware of who you are and your demons or your vices, mm-hmm. I had people with this old time thinking, oh, well, you know, because they want to take scripture, one part of the scripture, and not take it in its full context. So, mm-hmm. you know, oh, well, when I'm born again, I'm a new creature. I don't have those problems. That's a lie.
The devil is a lie.
That's a lie.
It sure is.
Now, mentally, where you're at, because, you know, whatever a man believes, so is he. Now, mm-hmm. I may believe, you know what? I am born again. I know that Christ has saved me. I know what I know. I know who I
mm-hmm.
am. I know that I
mm-hmm.
am, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, as long as you're in this body, as long as you're in this body, there will be trials and tribulations. And you are not going to always make the right decisions. The key is, what do you do after you make the wrong decision?
Mm-hmm.
And see, people don't, you know, I'm going to make the right decision. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to grow. I'm going to get to that next level. But when I make the wrong decision, or when I'm faced with something that I have to make, you know, a decision that may or may not go against what I believe in. See, those
right.
are your tests. And you're not going to always do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. I don't care how saved, sanctified, holified you are. You are not going to always do it right because of this thing we call flesh.
Right.
It's in the Bible. It tells you. But you renew your mind.
Right.
See, we forget about that part. We all mm-hmm. you have to renew your mind, how I react to things. I can't always cuss you out. Because,
right.
you know, because I've learned that's not going to get me anywhere. We renew our mind. Our spirit will continuously move us in those directions of where God wants us to go. And that is what is key.
Mm-hmm.
That is
mm-hmm.
what is key, you know. So I feel like I'm preaching. I don't know.
No, but you're telling the truth. And somebody needs to hear it. That's why I want to get on a live and do a platform interview with you so people can more people can see you and people can hear and ask questions about what you are saying, because it's the truth. I mean, people are living lies. What are you lying about? It's a generational curse. If you don't stop it, who will? It'll carry on to our kids and their kids, and then we looking up. I'm looking up like, well, why I got depression? Why I feel like this? Because somebody else did before me, and y'all didn't tell nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, this thing
spiritual.
Is real.
Yeah.
It
is. It's very real. It's very real.
Yes.
And if we don't, it's, I mean, and if you look at it, look out there now, it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our young people can't cope with anything. They out there fending for themselves. They believing in things. It's horrible, false, just lies out there
mm-hmm.
in these streets. And, you know, I work in these, you know, correction facilities, and I work with the officers and all these things. And one of the things you got to look at is culture.
Mm-hmm.
Understand the various cultures that we've created. I call them the subcultures. So, you know, I work in corrections. Well, I work in mental health. Well, I work over here. Well, I'm an educator. Well, I'm this
mm-hmm.
and I'm that. And you have a certain set of beliefs of like-minded people, but you'll look at the other folks and be like, oh, they this and they that. Why are we so divided? We created
mm-hmm.
this division based off of belief systems. Most of it is false. It's not even true. You got to buy him and want to call themselves Christians. What's wrong? What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of that is mental
right.
health. When I walked away from the state and started working for myself and kind of learning things, you know, we had to be about our business and understand, goes back to the community. If we're not taking care of our families and our communities, then you ain't doing nothing. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Right. Right.
Because that's not true. Ministry. You know, I'm a model. Liberty University taught us to be ambassadors of Christ, like in whatever you do. So if you go to school to be a teacher, you hold on to your integrity no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a soldier, even in the Army, I held on to my integrity. There were times that I just had to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, y'all do what y'all do, but that's not right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We got to stop being so scared and call ourselves believers.
Right.
Ain't no fear. Can't be no fear when you know that you would hurt your people for a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
I got to take care of me and mine.
Right.
You'll never get no, I don't care how many houses you got, how many cars you got, how many zeros is in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not walking in purpose and you're going against yourself and not walking in integrity, it's a problem. You're going to have something, you're going to have a problem. And you're sitting around wondering why things is falling apart internally, but you got all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's mental health, too.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, I have a practice in Sandy Springs, and I'm also on the south side, and I'm out there in Gwinnett County. So I work with all populations. And it's real funny how on the south side, you know, all my clients and my young people, well, if I had money, everything would be okay. But then I go to the north side, and I got clients who got money, and they just as messed up as the folks on the south side.
Yep.
And we still ain't figured it out. It's not about money. It's about you keeping it real with yourself, with your family, with your community. Until we can get to that, I don't care if it's politics, religion, whatever the vice or the whatever system, education, until we can really get down to the root of being honest with ourselves and truly taking care of each other, you know, just the basic needs. Everything else will take its place, but we don't even do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on mute, and I want you to, because my son is about to vacuum in the room. So would you talk more about that? And then why do you think people are hiding and standing in lies and not telling the truth?
Okay. Well, you know, I can only speak for myself. I think growing up, like we talked about, I'm from Gary. Left Gary, went to California. Spent the majority of my childhood there. Went back and forth a lot. And so I was exposed to various things in Inglewood and in Gary and Chicago and all the many places that I spent a lot of time. And childhood plays a big role. How you were parented, where you learned or how you learned how to cope with things and your value system. The things that you value. What I think happens, and this is just my opinion, is that, you know, in my life as I got older, I've always helped people or wanted to help people. I've always loved people. My family used to always say, oh, you always, oh, people don't care nothing about you. But I realized this was a calling much later. I didn't understand it back then. And as time went on, your experiences, when people hurt you, when people betray you, it takes a lot from you. And you get to a point, because even one point in my life, I just said, forget it. It's all about me. And I did whatever, you know, and that went on for a little span. I was in the Army at the time. And the whole time, even though I was just doing things for me and just thinking about me, I was miserable on the inside. I would literally drink and cry at night because I was miserable.
Mm.
And when I got back to the States, I remember talking to God and saying, this ain't me. Like, I'm not happy. I started having these weird dreams, and all these crazy people and stuff was coming around me. Folks, they swinging and just all kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I started having dreams about just very inappropriate things was trying to take over me. And I said, devil is a lie. I had a good friend, Wendy. She was like, Nick, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know about these people around you. And I started, you know, doing a lot of soul searching. And one day I just had to cry out to God. I said, look, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, 2 years, I ain't drink nothing. I ain't go out. I ain't do nothing. I was celibate. Like, it was me and God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to that point in my life and I learned as much as I could, I said, okay, I think I get it now. And the whole thing was I had been living in fear and anger and doubt. I call it the FAD syndrome, fear, anger, and doubt, because you hear me talk about that all the time. Because those are the things that stops us from moving forward in life in the way in our journey that God really has for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, we get into these, you know, we go to school because society says we got to go to school and get a degree so that we can have a career. And we get into these careers and we're like these robots doing what society, I always say, like the movie Divergent, you know, society is telling you, you have to do this, but there's something inside of you that's like, no, I have this for you. I need you to do this. And we fight it. When I started my business, when I left the state, I had families like, Nikki, why would you do that? You need benefits. You need this. You need that. People are always telling you what you need to do instead of you paying attention to what's in you. And so they get into these jobs. Now I got all these bills. I got my nice house. I got my nice car. My kids are happy. They got their Jordans. This is going on. This is going on. I'm going on my vacations and my trips, and you know, but oh my God, now I'm faced with having to make a very hard decision, and everything against me is saying that it's wrong. But if I go against the grain, I'm going to lose my job. I won't be able to take care of my kids. So what has happened is that we believe more in what society has told us than God. We have made our jobs, our careers, and get this, even our families. We have made our families God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think that we're living for them instead of living for him.
Come on now, girl.
So in all of that, that is why we get what we get now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I'm unhappy because really my God has become what I value the most. And I see it so much that if we could just keep it simple, it doesn't really take much. But people, you know, my pastor, Bishop Long, he used to always say, how bad do you want what God has for you? Because if you can't lay down your life to understand and to allow the Spirit to move you the way you're supposed to, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what people are telling you, then how bad do you want it? How bad?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you really believe in God? See, I know from my journey, I've been doggone dang near homeless, done lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say lost everything, more than one time now in this journey. Because I've made some bad decisions trying to believe in people that help me and work with me and this and that. And I lose sight of what God is telling me to do sometimes. That's part of my journey. It's okay. But what I've realized in all of it is that no matter how far down that because of a decision that I made has taken me, he has always brought me out and brought me out better than I was before.
Come on now.
So when I say, honey, you can sit here all day and threaten me with your little money and your paycheck. That means nothing to me because I know who takes care of me. I know. I'm not scared to be out here with no insurance and things, you know. Yeah, God saw fit that I went to the military and I ended up with a disability, and so I can get health care. Thank God for that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But even without it, I still, it's one of those things. I don't put my faith in that. Now,
right.
I ain't crazy. I'm still going to go out. I'm going to do insurance. I'm going to do all the things that I'm supposed to do to make sure that I'm okay when I'm going out and I'm doing the things that I'm doing. But at the end of the day, I don't believe in it. And that's our problem. We believe in things and value things that doesn't have anything to do with who we are and how we're supposed to be walking as a people. And that's why you had this thing called mental health.
And that's, yeah. Wow. Wow. It just really blows my mind, you know, when people like yourself talk and you're talking truth. You know, you ain't beating around the bush. You keeping it real. You saying what it is. It is just what it is. You know, instead of painting the picture to be something that it's not. And, you know, yeah, the truth hurts, but the truth will also set you free. Because I'm a living witness, and so are you. It don't feel good. It don't feel good to know about. Okay, Vanessa, I knew myself. It was a time in my life I couldn't stand myself. I'm like, Lord, this ain't it. Please work on me and help me. I looked in the mirror and just cried. Help me, because this ain't me. It has to be a better way to live within myself. Now, you know it's a problem if you can't stand yourself. And he began to work on me. And, baby, I'm so grateful. And I'm still a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress. But, baby, I'm not all that I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. But I am pressing to the high call of Jesus Christ every day. And every day I fall short, and he knows that. I just read a devotional not too long ago, and he said, I know you fall short, but I look at your heart, and I know that you love me, and I know that you're after me. But on the flip side, people. They look at us from the outside like we about to go back to the G, Nikki. We about to go back home where people knew what we used to do. Baby, we not that person no more. We not that person.
That's right. That's right.
We're not.
It's funny you say that because I tell people I had this alter ego because I really don't allow people to call me Nikki that I meet, you know, new people. And I always say because you don't want to know Nikki, you know. Nikki was something else, you know, and I think it's wonderful being able to go home for people to see Nicole and Victoriously Speaking. Now, don't get me twisted, because Nikki's still there. But at the end of the day, you have to keep that where it is, and that's that what I was saying earlier about just renewing your mind and just being able to understand yourself, you know, being honest. I remember, you know, at church, there was a lady, one of the elders, and she had the nastiest spirit. Just nasty. She would always assume stuff and just, you know, always, it's just negative, you know. And I used to be like, why are you like that? You know, it would always have something to say to me, but me, I'm always positive. I'm always going to come in there with a smile. I don't have nothing bad to say about anybody. And I used to say to myself, and I'm not talking about it, but in my mind, how you walk around talking about you elder so-and-so? You supposed to be an example for the young people coming in the ministry, and everything come out your mouth is negative. Everything come out your mouth is negative, and ain't nobody checked you. Like, it's things like that, and I think it was Creflo Dollar one time said something about this thing about accountability in the church and how, you know, we don't like accountability because, oh, you judging me. Well, no, I'm not judging you. But when you walking around being negative and saying stuff about people, you're judging people. But if I try to correct you, oh, I'm wrong? No, that's accountability. We're supposed to be accountable to one another. That is mental health. I just wanted to point that out while we was on air. That is also mental health. And you're not even realizing you walking around with a title in a ministry where people are looking at you and you negative every day. But you judge people every day about what they wearing, what they looking like, what they saying, how they, you know, whatever. But if I say something to you about your attitude, I'm judging you. Come on, man. We have to hold each other. That's that truth thing. We got to start holding each other accountable. We are hurting people. Hurting people because we can't be honest.
And the thing of it is, what you just said is that when you be honest, the first thing that pop out their mouth is you being negative. What? It's the truth. I mean, you hitting some stuff on the nail. It's the truth. So how am I being negative? I almost said how the hell? But how am I being negative? It's the truth. It's
right. We have to fix it. Can we fix it? Can I bring it to your awareness?
You just always negative. No, you just always not standing in your truth, baby.
And everybody talk about it. Everybody go around. See, that's one of the mother truth factors. We got to do better.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree. I totally agree. We got a few more minutes, and before I get off of here, though, with you, I want to go ahead and set up something for us to do a Be Live, just you and I, before we go home, the showdown. So,
okay, yeah, because I leave Atlanta Tuesday, so I'll be home for a week.
Okay. Okay. What time are you leaving Tuesday?
Early in the morning. I get into Chicago at like 6:30 in the morning.
And I'm leaving Wednesday. Unless we do it next. The 23rd. I got my days. What about the 23rd?
What's that, Monday?
That's Monday. Yeah, that evening, like 7. Do a Be Live like we did before, you and I.
We probably have to do it. I got a lot of stuff going on that day.
You do? Okay.
Let's talk about it. Yeah, because we'll talk about it offline.
Okay. That'll work. That's fine. That is absolutely fine. I definitely want to thank you for all that you're doing and all the hard work that you're doing and definitely jumping on board with the tour. Is there anything that you would like to share as we get ready to close out the show? Some things that you can, some nuggets actually to drop, because you didn't drop a whole lot of nuggets, but I don't know if the people were taking notes or not. But
I don't know. I feel like I'm all out of nuggets right now. Just make sure that... Like, there's nothing coming down. There's nothing else coming down. Just make sure y'all follow me, because we're speaking on Facebook, Instagram. I have a YouTube channel, Life Media 365 with Victoriously Speaking. Subscribe to that, because I will have a podcast flowing pretty soon called The Butterfly Life. Which
nice.
Is rooted in trauma. I'm basically putting out everything about trauma that we can actually do. You know, I have a young man that works with me, Brandon Malik. He's one of the co-hosts with me, and it should be very informative. So just make sure y'all go and check me out as we start putting these things out. Hopefully we have some events coming in next year in addition to your tour. I want to make sure that we're going everywhere as much as possible, just spreading awareness, like reconciliation movement, NNK for life. You know, just check me out. I'm always putting out something. Every now and then I'll have those downloads and there's going to be something that I'm going to post. So just follow
me. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you again for your time and all of your divine gifts and your treasures and your wisdom and what you're doing in the community and even outside of the community, even while you are going through what you are going through and you're progressing and God is working on you. So I just want to thank you and just let you know that you are appreciated. I love you. And I just wish God's very best for you as you continue to press on your way to self-discover and stand in your truth and be that light in this dark world. So I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone.
Thank you so
much. She is such a fabulous person, and I'll have her again on maybe one of the other shows with but then I want to have it on another show so we can do a face-to-face, and we will keep you posted when we do that. So, again, this is the Self-Discovery Show with Vanessa, and today we have the marvelous, the wonderful Nicole.
Hello.
that is going home back to our native town of Gary, Indiana, on July 28th. So meet us there. It is no fee. You will be blessed. And until then, hey, make sure that you self-discover. And self-discovery, it is learning who you are, who you are not, but yet who you're becoming, knowing the difference of all of those, and know that you are not your past, but yet your past is connected to your purpose. Stand in your truth, because the truth will set you free. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and God bless each and every one of you. Take care.
God bless.